thank you for that, and welcome back to the program. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the globe on American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the program Benjamin Lovato, and he is here to talk about the USA Network's number one show, Queen of the South. And they are in their fifth and final season. And this has been a top three Nielsen's Raider performer for USA Network. And it tells the powerful story of Teresa Mendoza, a woman who is forced to run and seek refuge in America after her drug-dealing boyfriend is killed in Mexico. Benjamin, welcome to the show. You've been there since day one with this show. What do you do with this show? You wear many hats, don't you?
Well, first of all, thank you, Rick, for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you. Yes, speaking of hats, cowboy hats, sombreros, sometimes calavera masks, which are the skull masks, many hats on the show. I've been there since season one. I started out as a co-producer writing on season one, and after three seasons became a co-showrunner, which is kind of like, if you're going to talk about it in military terms, kind of like the colonel of the show. So overseeing essentially the arc of the characters, the story seasons, rewriting the episodes, hiring the crew and casting. And so it's a really privileged position to be in. But along the way, Queen of the South has been just a proving ground in a way for myself and many other writers and producers. I've had the opportunity to write music for the show. I came out at one point, I starred in the show, I wrote a song, and I got to perform the song on the series. And so I did that, and then I got to direct an episode this last season. And so there's a lot going on and a lot of opportunity there, and it's been a unique blessing.
Very cool. And I mentioned the main protagonist, Teresa. It's played by Alice Braga, and she is the glue that holds this show together. I remember first seeing her in I Am Legend, and there's just something about her demeanor, her face, where she just steals the scene. She just eats up the whole screen when she's on there. And I think a lot of people don't know she's originally Brazilian. You encapsulate what she has meant to this series?
I mean, I think you really nailed it. I mean, look, everything kind of revolves around her. I mean, first of all, we're talking about just a world-class performer. Everything she does is about truth. And, you know, she's an executive producer now on the series, and she's been for the last two seasons. And so we've been able to work with her not only as just this incredible actress that brings truth into everything that she does and everything that she says, but then working with her on the other side as an executive producer and helping shape the story arcs. And I got to tell you, I mean, a lot of times people in my position, showrunners, storytellers, you know, actors end up becoming executive producers, and a lot of times it's not super helpful, but I have to say that Alice Braga is the exception. She has helped make the show just so much better, and I mean, that's nothing to say what she does in front of the camera, but then what she does behind the camera as a collaborator is just, I mean, nothing short of just excellence. And also, since we're on the topic, I just have to give a shout out. Today is Alice's birthday, and so have to give a shout out to our queen. Happy birthday, Alice, and just so blessed to have you as a creative partner and a driving force of the series.
Very cool. Now, I'm a huge soccer fan, and when I first heard of the show, I thought you were talking about the Scottish soccer team, Queen of the South. Does anybody, any other dork get that mixed up like me?
That's hilarious. You know, when we first started out, a lot of the social media, people were hashtagging Queen of the South, and the soccer team was coming up. This is how I know about the soccer team.
Got you. What, you know, I always like the arc, that series that lasts as long as this one does, because you know, you can't possibly know what you're going to be doing in season five. And it always fascinates me when I'll see a series, whether it's, you know, the Sopranos or Narcos or something like that, and how many different people will write an episode. And it's almost like, okay, now you're in charge of these characters. What are you going to do with them? What is that collaboration like? And what's it like to make sure that it doesn't veer off course?
You know, it's actually, I have to say, in terms of screenwriting, and, you know, there's a difference between screenwriting for film and screenwriting for television. And in television, you have your showrunners who are essentially setting the course creatively. This is what we're, the story that we're going to tell for the season, which essentially is the arc of the character. We're going to start the character A, and by the end of the season, they're going to land on B. And so you set the course, you set the tone, and then you bring in this group of writers, other television writers, and, you know, you sit in a, sometimes it can be like a boardroom atmosphere. Sometimes we like a living room atmosphere, very cozy couches and whatnot. And we get out the dry erase boards, and then we just start pitching, and everybody proposes ideas. And, you know, we take some ideas, sometimes we make them better. But this collaboration is what really drives ultimately the layers, the multiple layers that you get with the character changes and the character turns. Sometimes somebody might pitch a scene, and then that scene will end up in an episode, you know, in episode 10, but it was pitched for episode 1. And so when we hear these great ideas and we say, you know what, that doesn't work here, but I think it'll work later in episode 9 or 10, so let's put it on the board and we'll remember because we know we want to do that thing. And so it really, I mean, it's really a lot of fun, you know, in terms of, you know, people that write plays or people that write for film. You know, oftentimes they're on their own. They're sitting in a room by themselves. They're conjuring ideas. In television, it's much different. It's a really collaborative, you know, hopefully fun environment, and that's kind of how we do it. And then, of course, you know, my job and my co-showrunner's job is to essentially oversee that what's creatively coming out of those story sessions and pick and choose and essentially steer the ship. And so that's kind of the process of it. And then each individual writer will get assigned an episode. They go off and write an outline and then a script. And all along the way, we give them notes. We can make it better. And then essentially at a certain point, we'll end up with the script and we'll do a pass on it, like a little bit of a rewrite to make sure that the characters' voices are all lining up. And then it goes out to production, and that's a whole other process. But it's a very collaborative process, you know, I would say a team building, team storytelling, which is very unique and to our business and a lot of fun.
No doubt. Very interesting. A couple more questions for Benjamin Lovato about Queen of the South. As we know in today's Hollywood, you know, when it comes to acting, if you aren't one ethnic heritage or you don't have some certain challenges, there are people in Hollywood that will challenge you. Also the representation. Have you ever gotten any pushback from any Latino, or should I say even Chicano organizations saying you should represent us more this way, less that way? Because it's so touchy nowadays, people who can become offended. Or have you guys, people realize it's just a show and it's for entertainment?
You know, that's a really good question. I would have to say, I think that when we were in season one, when we were getting ready to roll out, we had a little bit of fear. You know, look, there are very few shows on the air with any kind of Latino representation. And so, you know, to put this show on the air and to, you know, essentially be a show where we have the main characters, you know, our drug dealers. So there was that fear, but ultimately what happened was, you know, we didn't get the pushback, and I think it's for a couple of reasons. And I think one of the reasons is that we've always had, you know, Latinos behind the scenes, right, to help shape the narrative, myself included, as, you know, one of the only original writer from season one. And what that did was it allowed us to really make these characters three-dimensional. So instead of becoming stereotypes, they became characters that people could really relate to and care about and also and understand. And so one of the things that we really want to explore is not just, hey, you know, this is just this cool Pablo Escobar kind of Scarface-y type character and world, but how did Teresa Mendoza become a drug dealer, right? How does she make that journey into a queenpin? What are the circumstances that drove her to make that choice that essentially she didn't choose for herself, but was put in an impossible situation where she had to choose between life and death? And we always said one of the keys to the show early in season one was we have to give her, you know, choices, and both have to be bad choices because there are no good choices. It's not like either you can kill them and walk away into the sunset and you'll survive. No, you're going to have to kill somebody. That's the only way to survive. But here's the fallout that's going to come, but you have no choice. And so we would put her in these impossible situations so that the audience would empathize with her as a character and say, if I was in that situation, no doubt I would make the exact same choice that Teresa Mendoza made. So that was one of the things that we did. And I think that's really helped service us in the sense that people felt like they could relate to this character. You know, she's a character with a strong moral code, and that's kind of her superpower. You know, people love her, and the family that surrounds her on the show, they're there because of her loyalty. So instead of rising through the ranks of the cartel world because she's more brutal than the men in the world, she's done it a different way. She's proven to be more loyal than anyone in the world, and that has not only brought this loyal team and what we call her familia to surround her and support her, but I think it's also really endeared her to the audience. And so yeah, so to make a point, we really haven't had that type of pushback. And I think the other part of that is the fact that she's a woman in a world that is generally dominated by men. So seeing her come at it from a female perspective, I think, has also been one of the things that people have celebrated. You know, there's a lot of female empowerment that happens in the show and that is expressed through her character. And I think on the contrary, instead of being attacked, actually it's been celebrated for that.
Very interesting. We've been speaking with Benjamin Lovato for USA Network's Queen of the South, now in their fifth and final season. Wrapping up the Familia, that's got to be a little bit melancholy and sad for you guys, but we just have about 30 seconds. What's coming next for you, Benjamin?
What's coming next? There are a lot of things that I'm looking at. I directed an episode this season that people are very excited about, and so now I'm having conversations to direct projects, and so that's very exciting for me. And there are a couple of other projects that we have out to the town now, so we'll see what happens. And some of them I can't really talk about because they're very early, but all very exciting, and all kind of the thing that I do, which is muscular drama with a heart. And I think that's kind of
well, we have one thing in common. I worked at a tennis tournament in Oakland in 1981 as a 16-year-old for the brand new USA Network. So we have that in common, Benjamin. Everybody check out Queen of the South. Ben, thanks for coming on, man. Congratulations, and let's catch up down the road.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me.